just as a start, just touch on diet, what people have been eating in the past very briefly. And I think that probably fairly well accepted that hunter-gatherers in the past and modern hunter-gatherers have traditionally had much, much higher intakes of fat, and particularly saturated fat, than people have today. When one looks at some of the evolutionary texts in traditional diets, there seems to be a trend to report that these people had a preference for selecting meats or parts of the animal that were quite high in fat, particularly things like organ meat, eyeballs and lizards and things like that. Now, from modern hunter-gathering people, they tend to have very low serum cholesterol levels, and they also have very much, much higher intakes of protein. Now, this here is the Maasai, and the Maasai, both in the past and up to relatively recent times, have had a diet largely of blood, milk, and meat. They would hunt the meat, and they bleed their animals so as to keep them alive and presumably milk them. So that's a large part of their diet. This here is an Inuit person, and the Inuit, up until recently, have had a huge proportion of their diet, some 75% of their diet coming, or energy from their diet coming from fat. They, until recently, have not had a problem with cardiovascular disease, not until they started switching to a more Western diet, strangely enough. So just a couple of examples of traditional diets which are very high in fat, but not associated with cardiovascular disease. In fact, these, both the Maasai and the Inuit traditionally have very, very low rates, or it's almost non-existent. And I just think this is interesting because human height has not just been a trend upwards. I think there's often a common thought that people have just got taller and taller with an improvement in diet. But in fact, prior to agriculture, people, the average height, human height, was actually much higher than it is now, and the American height has not yet reached the point where it was 10,000 years ago. So as agriculture started to appear, particularly at the point where it became complete, human height actually got a lot smaller and has generally, slowly, over a few thousand years, trended upward. But certainly, people have been very tall in the past. I'd just like to touch on perhaps some common reasonably recent recommendations for eating, because up until relatively recently, getting enough food was the main thing people had to worry about. Perhaps not a problem getting too much food. So up until about the 50s, there hasn't really been a lot of public health recommendations in telling people what they should be eating. So I don't know if you'll be able to read some of these, but in 1957, it was thought that diet may play a role in the development of clogged arteries, and that fat and maybe the amount of calories people were eating could be important. And they also thought that saturated fat and unsaturated fat might be important, and that there were probably a wide variety of determinants of the development of plaques on people's arteries. 1961, the idea was that you should maintain a good body weight and take exercise, which is probably a good idea. Then it was recommended that people should reduce their total fat intake, particularly saturated fats and cholesterol, and increase their polyunsaturated fatty acids, which are sort of traditionally called the good fats. And particularly men with a history of atherosclerosis. And you should always see your physician before changing your diet. By 1977, there was a recommendation to increase carbohydrate intake to about 60% of your total energy intake, reduce your fat to less than 30, or as low as possible, and your cholesterol to about 300 milligrams a day, which is about about equivalent to an egg for your total intake. Also reduce your sugar and your salt. When you think about that, that's probably quite a challenge to do, especially when you're being told to increase your carbohydrates. By 1995, again, balance your food intake with your energy outputs, very sensible. Eat plenty of grain products, vegetables and fruit. Eat a low-fat, low-saturated fat, and low-cholesterol diet. Eat lots of the variety of foods. Okay. So, how was this demon created? So, I'd just like to talk about a little bit of the history that, it may be popular history, but anyway, it's interesting about what happened in the 50s. So, after the war, it was observed that business executives in particular were dropping dead from heart attacks. And because prior to that, getting enough food had been more of a concern, a gentleman called Ansel Keys proposed that perhaps it was the fat intake of these people that was causing them to have this problem. So he in the country, which is now called the famous Seven Countries Study, where he got some countries, it looked at their intake of fat, or their percentage of energy from fat, and then plotted it against the incidence of coronary heart disease. And he got this graph here, which is this particular one is an adaption from a slightly later publication. And you can see that he's got a nice little trend line going up there, with Japan having the lowest intake of fat and the lowest incidence of cardiovascular disease, or deaths from cardiovascular disease, up to the USA. So that's fairly convincing. Although he did acknowledge at the time that there was a problem of direct evidence on the effect of the diet in human atherosclerosis, and that might remain so for some time. Now, this another couple of authors whose name I might not pronounce properly, Yerushalami and Halevo, criticised the study because they said at the time he had access to the data from many more countries, not just those seven, and had he used that data and plotted those points, he would have got this. And if you were to draw a line through there, it's far less convincing. And then what if you actually selected out some countries like Japan, Chile, Mexico, France? You could get a line like that. And if you selected these countries, you could get a line like that. And why not do that? So there was some criticism at the time about his cherry-picking of the data. Oh, and you could do that too, and pop the Maasai and others in there. Again, it's not such a convincing picture. Then, in the early 60s, data started coming out from what's now a very well-known longitudinal study called the Framingham Study. And this is people in the town of Framingham in Massachusetts who were involved in this massive heart study, which has been going since 1948, and they're now onto their third generation. So they've been pumping data out for years. In 1961, this study linked cholesterol levels to heart disease in men, not women, but men. And the American Heart Association, under the influence of Ansel Keys, who was a real advocate for reducing fat, they began advocating low-fat diets for men with high cholesterol levels. And at this time, Ansel Keys got himself on Time magazine. So, indeed, I got the reference, and indeed, 1961, they showed that higher mean cholesterol levels in men who developed coronary heart disease. One of the from the same study in 1964 reported the people who had coronary heart disease in the dotted line and non-coronary heart disease in the non-dotted line, and you can see that they're not enormously different in terms of their serum cholesterol level. There's quite a lot of overlap there. Maybe not something that would make you run out and completely change your whole way of life, anyway. By 1969, the summary of knowledge on the matter was by the panel of the National Health Institute. It said it is not known whether dietary manipulation has any effect whatsoever on coronary heart disease. Because so far, what they've been showing is perhaps there've been elevated levels of serum cholesterol possibly associated with a risk for coronary heart disease. But they hadn't looked at diet factors at this point. Okay, so prior to 1961, there had been a lot of studies that had also concluded that there was no association, so there wasn't a consensus on this by any means. Later findings from the Framingham study found that when people who had died and post-mortem was performed, found that there was a slight correlation for men to have higher serum cholesterol levels, not women, again, and the correlation was not really, really strong. The other thing is, it was not stated, and I got the study, it's not stated how they selected their sample. It wasn't, as I can see, a random sample. And, it may have concluded people who had a familial inherited type of high cholesterol, which is associated with a higher risk of heart disease. So, at that time, there didn't seem to be huge scientific consensus about the association of diet and coronary heart disease. However, this deadlock was broken not by the development of any new science, but politically. At the time, the American Medical Association, and there was a number of others as well, were actually quite concerned that there was a lack of evidence that dietary fat caused cardiovascular disease. But also, if you told people to eat differently, you at the time didn't know what the consequences of that might be. However, policy was decided by the media, the public, and big politicians. And I wonder if at the time, if you tell people to just reduce the fat in your diet, that's a really simple message to convey, something people can really get their heads around. Simple for the media, simple for everybody. And they figured that the science would just catch up with that. Now, I'm hoping this will work. What I want you to look at on this little media kit from 1977, in particular, because I didn't have the time or skill to edit this bit out. But there's a discussion going on at a committee meeting with some scientists and a politician called George McGovern. And I just really want you to pay attention to that interaction if you can hear it.
The committee's original report urged Americans to reduce their risk of heart attacks by reducing their intake of cholesterol down to the equivalent of about one egg a day.
There were eminent scientists of the time saying this is nonsense. There is no good scientific evidence that either fat or cholesterol, is at the root of heart disease.
I said to the professor that I was working with, this is not right. Animal fat's not causing this, and this is not what the data says.
I have pleaded in my report and will plead again orally here for more research on the problem before we make announcements to the American public.
Well, I would only argue that senators don't have the luxury that a research scientist does of waiting until every last shred of evidence is in.
The McGovern Committee's report was written by a young staff member who happened to be a vegetarian and had no background in medicine or health research.
Anyway, we'll leave that from there. But the point was, at the time, the scientists were not unanimous about this. Just the point I'd like to make, it's actually really quite difficult to add pure protein to a diet, and a low-fat diet is usually a low-protein diet. Low-fat diets can be very high in carbohydrates. Now, creating the scientific consensus on the matter, five major studies conducted, or at least the findings published between 1980 and 1984. Four of these, for example, looking at heart disease rate and diet with Honolulu, Puerto Rico, Chicago, and the Framingham study, found that men eating less fat did not live longer or have fewer heart attacks. Then there was the multiple risk factor intervention study, looking at a reduction in fat along with smoking cessation and medication for blood pressure. And they inconveniently showed that eating less fat may shorten life. However, the investigators concluded that there were methodological flaws in that study leading to the negative results. Another study, conducted by the Lipid Research Clinic's coronary prevention trial, which was a drug trial, and this is before the modern statin drugs for lowering cholesterol became available. This drug here was shown to reduce cholesterol levels in men who had abnormally high levels of cholesterol and relatively modestly reduced their heart disease rates over a period of 8 years. The investigators then concluded, in the absence of any dietary data, that this drug's benefits could be extended to diet as well and could and should be extended to other age groups and women, other more modest elevations, cholesterol. And this was conducted on men who were not within the normal population in terms of their cholesterol. However, there was a massive public relations campaign conducted by the National Heart, Lung and Blood Institute, and there was a big article in Time magazine, "Sorry, It's True, Cholesterol Really Is a Killer." And while those lipid research group findings were impressed, the principal investigator said, strongly indicate the more you lower your cholesterol and fat in your diet, the more you reduce your risk of heart disease. So, you know, it was a big leap to make from the findings of the drug trial results. So when did fat go really, really bad? In 1984, Americans were told to reduce their dietary fat by the National Institute of Health. And the Surgeon General said fat is the single most unwholesome component of the American diet. He also said it was worse for you than smoking. And of course, logically, if you all cut down on your fat, you will solve atherosclerosis that he predicted by the year 2000. So that was good. Then what they did was commission a definitive report for the dangers of dietary fat. And all you had to do was get all the evidence together and put it into a report. Just a summary of the supporting evidence. 10 years later, and 4 research officers later, there were no results and no report. In the end, in 1999, a letter was circulated saying they killed the report because the subject matter was too complex. There was no press release. I can understand what they mean by the subject matter too complex. It's really complex. However, that said, you should be able to make some falsifiable predictions about this. Diets that are high in saturated fat should raise your total and your bad, your low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, and people should have more cardiovascular disease than people with low-fat diets. Seems logical. If you reduce your dietary saturated fat, you should be able to prevent cardiovascular disease. And people who've got high cholesterol should be more atherosclerotic and have a greater risk of cardiovascular disease than people who've got low cholesterol. If you lower it, you should be able to prevent cardiovascular disease. So they all seem, okay, so how do we get on there? Okay, so the first falsifiable prediction, eating lots of fat should give you heart disease. Here's a slightly older meta-analysis of 27 trials looking at the effect of dietary fatty acid on your serum lipids. They found that replacing saturated fat with carbohydrate has no effect on total serum cholesterol. More recently, the New England Journal of Medicine published that there are more favourable effects on lipids with low carbohydrate diets. That would be an extreme. The Atkins diet would be an extreme low carbohydrate diet. The Archives of Internal Medicine last year supported a systematic review of the evidence supporting a causal link between dietary factors and coronary heart disease and found no evidence to support reduction of saturated fatty acids. Also last year, another study saying that the intake of saturated fatty acids is not significantly associated with coronary heart mortality. And another meta-analysis of prospective cohort studies evaluating the association of saturated fat with cardiovascular disease concluded the intake of saturated fatty acids is not significantly associated with coronary heart disease, mortality, or heart attack. Here's Ansel Keys' data looking at the calories from fat in percent along with the serum cholesterol level, showing a fairly convincing association. But also here are some other data points plotted on the same, and maybe they will shift that line a little.
Sorry, Helen, for the benefit of those that I may have failed to talk through in the map, can you briefly click through those graphs?
So this one here, you've got a collection of countries plotted up there, showing that the more calories you get from fat, the greater your cholesterol level. So you've got higher, if you eat more fat, you've got higher cholesterol. If you add in some other countries that eat loads and loads and loads of fat, they don't necessarily have really high cholesterol. It's just a cute little, I've got some harder data. Okay, the next falsifiable prediction. A reduction in dietary fat should be able to prevent cardiovascular disease, and that's certainly what the Surgeon General thought in the 80s. Okay, here's a study looking at the low-fat dietary pattern and risk of cardiovascular disease, and this was a fairly large randomised controlled trial where women over 8 years were told to reduce their total fat intake and increase vegetables and fruit and grains. This did not significantly reduce the risk of coronary heart disease, stroke, or cardiovascular disease in these women who were postmenopausal, and achieved only modest effects on cardiovascular disease risk factors. That's like factors such as high cholesterol. And in here, special issues in the analysis of nutrition and metabolism said intake of saturated fatty acid was not significantly associated with coronary heart disease mortality. Again, this is early this year, a meta-analysis. Saturated fatty acid not significantly associated with coronary heart disease events. And some conclusions from a joint expert committee on fats and fatty acids in human nutrition concluded that replacing saturated fatty acid with carbohydrate probably does not improve risk of coronary heart disease. Replacing saturated fatty acid with polyunsaturated fatty acid decreases your risk. So if you replace saturated fat with what people often term the good fats, the polyunsaturated fats, you actually improve your risk. And a collection of other major US cohort studies that have got over 300,000 participants have found that the total fat consumed has no relation to cardiovascular disease. Monounsaturated fat lowers the risk. Saturated fat is little worse, if at all, than carbohydrates. And we know that now that anything called a trans fat is really, really bad. And the third falsifiable prediction, people with a high total and low cholesterol should have more clogged artery and more disease. I won't read them out, but these are studies going from 1936 through to relatively recently. So all through this time, you know, there's been evidence showing that blood cholesterol doesn't necessarily mean you've got clogged up arteries. Another thing is that there appears to be a lot of preferential citation of trials that are supportive to the dietary fat hypotheses. And and they're far, far more likely to be cited if they're supporting that. So there seems to be a little bit of citation bias going on. So I think, you know, a nice summary at the moment of the current status on dietary knowledge in coronary heart disease has been summarised in this Archives of Internal Medicine review. And what they've concluded, at this point in time, we can say that there is a significant amount of evidence to show that your risk of heart disease is reduced when you consume these things. Very happy to see that. Higher alcohol consumption. I think this probably says what most people know. Eat your fruit and veggies, and you know, nuts are good, and Mediterranean dietary pattern is good. So these things are all good things. These things are bad things. These things are associated with an increased risk of heart disease. Eating trans fatty acids and those really, really, really delicious McDonald's chips that aren't quite so delicious now were cooked in trans fat, which is what made them so yummy. I don't think they're allowed to use that anymore, but that was one of the sources of trans fat. It's what happens when you heat up vegetable oils and change their hydrogen atoms or something, and then they behave really badly. Also bad is a high intake of foods with a high glycemic index or a high glycemic load. So the faster that the thing burns up in your body, the worse. You want things to burn, have a slow burn, and so lollies and starchy foods, white breads and things, are very high glycemic foods. The most evidence at the moment of cause and effect, Mediterranean diet protect, vegetables protect, nuts protect, trans fatty acids are bad, and the high GI foods are bad. Also, there is insufficient evidence to support a reduction of saturated fatty acids. And they also note that they are concerned about making recommendations without the benefits of randomised controlled trials. They're concerned that limiting dietary fat may in fact result in increased consumption of carbohydrate and then lead to increased coronary heart disease. And that cohort studies often conflict with a randomised controlled trial. Quick word on obesity. I think we've all seen this pattern. The Americans eat less fat than they ever have. They now have their fat intake down to almost what they were being recommended to eat. However, obesity was stable right up until 1980, and then since then it's been increasing along with diabetes, which in turn increases the risk of heart disease. And that thing called Syndrome X, which all the data shows that processed carbohydrates increase your bad cholesterol, reduce your good cholesterol, increase triglyceride levels, and cause insulin resistance. And all of that, in turn, increases your risk of coronary heart disease. And often it's a fallback position because you sort of say, well, fat's got 9 calories in it and carbohydrates and protein only have 4, so eating fat will, you know, you're eating more calories, which is true. One study with 50,000 women costing $100 million counseled the women to consume only 20% of their calories from fat. Now, that would be extraordinarily hard to do, and they did it for 3 years and lost each around a kilo. No, not that much. And there's some really good evidence now, pretty strong, it's been coming through consistently, that low carbohydrate of various varieties, Mediterranean diets, are actually far more successful than low fat diets for reducing weight. I'd just like to mention quickly some complexities in all of this. The bad fats, the trans fatty acids, increase bad cholesterol while decreasing good cholesterol. The good fats, the polyunsaturated fats, decrease bad cholesterol and increase good cholesterol. And saturated fat increases both. So it's kind of neutral. So if you get a good juicy big fat steak and you cook it up, half of it's protein, half of it's fat. of that fat, half of it's the sort of fat that you get in olive oil, which is a good fat, and the other half, a lot of the other half, is stearic acid. And although it's a saturated acid, it actually raises your good cholesterol. So some would argue that's better than eating carbohydrates for your risk factors. Sorry? Yeah. It's the same because it's got the same type of oil in it. When you look at people, often look at that and go, "Oh, bad fat," but actually, almost all the fat in that is a fat that will improve your lipid profile. And I just did the same for butter. Broke that down. I didn't realise that only half of butter is saturated fat, and of that saturated fat, some of it has a good function, and then the other half of butter also has a good function. So maybe butter's not that bad, and certainly the epidemiology would suggest that butter's not that bad. I'll skip that because I'm going to run out of time. Am I okay for time? Okay, well, I think there's some challenges with some of the observations when you look at whole population groups. For example, the Finns have got dreadful heart disease. They live 500k from the Arctic Circle, and there's barely a leaf in sight. So they don't eat a lot of nice leafy things. The Scots have a notoriously poor diet and eat few fruit and vegetables. They have heart disease. The Greeks pour olive oil over everything, and they pour it over their salads and their vegetables and their legumes, and so they eat a lot of vegetables. Issue with having fresh produce all year round rather than a difference in fat intake may be an issue. It's not just the French paradox, it's not just the French. Large parts of Southern Europe who eat large amounts of fat and do not have high rates of heart disease. So maybe it's not enough of a good thing rather than too much of a bad thing. Also, some of the methodological problems, and often with these studies, bad fats such as trans fats get lumped in with saturated fat. And in fact, they're actually very different. And so, you know, some of these fats may be tarred with the same brush. So that could be a challenge because I think these studies are pretty very hard to conduct. So just to summarise, in the 50s, men were having heart attacks. In the 60s, there was an association made between the serum cholesterol and coronary heart disease. But not all the evidence was supportive at the time. And the assumption was made that diet was the culprit. And then based on absolutely, well, at the time, no evidence, sweeping dietary recommendations were then implemented. And now, this is our new 2010 food pyramid, which has become very complicated, and doesn't, from what I can see, quite reflect the evidence that we have. But the issue is incredibly complex. For example, I've discovered that so-called bad cholesterol, or the low-density cholesterol, is actually vital in immune function, and that low levels of bad cholesterol actually predictors of mortality from a whole range of other things, including a range of infectious diseases and some cancers. So, you know, it's really complicated. The polyunsaturated fatty acids appear to improve cardiac risk factors, and there seems to be good data for that. Probably the evil saturated fatty acids are probably neutral. And by replacing fat with carbohydrates certainly shows that increases your risk factors. So I think people have to be very careful what they're replacing that with. I mean, ideally it would be fruits and vegetables and good fats, but that's, you know, often easier said than done when you're making public health recommendations. So, you know, have we become nations of carb addicts, seeking out foods that say that they're low fat and therefore good for you? In fact, by doing that, eating diets that have lower nutrition, missing out on some really important good fats and also fruit and vegetables. And I'll leave you with that.